Good morning. This is Focus 580, our morning telephone talk show. My name is Jack Brighton, sitting in for David Inge today. Glad you could listen. During this hour of the show, we'll be talking about great places to go hiking in Illinois. One of my favorite things to do. If you're not out hiking yourself on this beautiful day, we'll give you some ideas about some places to go and what you can see there and so forth. Our guest is Susan Post, a scientist with the Illinois Natural History Survey, and she has been an active hiker herself for many, many years, and she's written a book about it, so she has a good guide in print about it and can also share her experiences and ideas during this hour. The book, by the way, is entitled Hiking Illinois, and it was published by Human Kinetics, what, about 3 years ago or something?
About three, 4 years ago,
okay.
Correct.
Good. So if you'd like to take a look at that, I know I've seen it around the bookstores and libraries.
And it's in its second printing.
Very good. And as we talk with Susan Post, if you'd like to join the conversation, if you have questions or suggestions, experiences that you've had that you'd like to pass along, we'd love to hear them. The number around Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. We also have a toll-free line anywhere you hear us around Illinois, Indiana, etc. 800-222-9455. Around Champaign-Urbana, 333-WILL. If you match the numbers with the letters, that's what you get. Toll-free anywhere else, 800-222-WILL. And thanks for being here.
Oh, thank you. And I'd like to encourage people to share their favorite hiking spots, because when I was doing the book, I thought I knew Illinois, but you would go meet people on the trails and they'd say, oh, do you know about this place? Or you didn't know about that place? And a place I discovered was near Crab Orchard Lake called Devil's Kitchen Lake. And in the springtime, late April, it's a fabulous place to hike. You've got a little waterfall. You've got carpets of wildflowers. I mean, who could ask for anything more? And it's only about a couple miles. So that was just a recommendation from somebody as I was hiking along. So
right. Yeah, all kinds of. Well, and I think people, especially people who don't live here, and maybe even many people who do, take for granted a lot of the resources that we have around the state. You know, Illinois is so flat, it seems, throughout most of the state. We think we don't have any geographical features.
Right, right. And they think, oh, you're going to go hiking in Illinois? Where are you going to go? But with the Hiking Illinois book, one of the sort of, it's sort of a funny thing, maybe we had to rate these hikes with boots.
Yeah.
And a five-booter meant that there might be a little elevation, it might be a little more difficult. And the state does have a few five-booters where you kind of got to go uphill a little bit. So, and one of those I'll mention, it's called Glacial Park in McHenry County. Here you climb what's called Camelback Cames, which are gravel deposits left by the glaciers. And you climb up this thing, this hill, and you're like, wow, you can see forever. So we do have a little topography.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And then you go into the southern part of the state where the glaciers didn't reach. And you go from, 12,000-year-old terrain based on, what the last period of glaciation did to the landscape. And then suddenly you cross a line and you're in 120-million-year-old terrain or something
right.
like that.
And a hike there that's fairly rugged is called Little Grand Canyon. And here you hike down with steps made by the Civilian Conservation Corps.
Mm-hmm.
And these steps are usually slick and wet, so you got to take your time. And to hike out, it's a circle, but you again have to hike out of different steps, sort of carved into the rock.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a little bit of a challenge.
I'll have to investigate Little Grand Canyon. I've heard about it, but
It's in the book. It's in the book.
It's in the book. The great thing about the book, also for those who haven't seen it, is you actually have a description of these areas, as you said, the boot scale, one to five boots, and instead of stars, and a map, actually.
There's a trail map, and then for two of the trails within that park, I have taken it to maybe, like as Emerald would say, we've kicked it up a notch, and it's almost like I'm on the hike with you, and I'm pointing out different things you can see, or, maybe there's a glacial feature that you might want to know about. And so usually that information is there in the book. The book has perforated pages, so you can tear it out. The whole idea was that you'd make your own little notebook of hiking trails.
That's a great idea. I didn't want to tear pages out of the book just because I have a thing about that. But yeah, and you also tell how long the trail is and approximately how long it'll take you to hike it, because that's
right.
The other issue.
Well, I'm sort of my husband and I are sort of dawdlers along the trail because we also like to take a lot of pictures.
Right.
So it's like we see something and it's like, so we're there for a while. And usually our trips back, if it's a circular or an out and back, coming back, it's a lot quicker.
One of the things that I like to do, you know, in addition to, as you say, gawking and looking around, just because, you know, you're out in the middle of nature and, you know, it's a great way to sort of, you know, put yourself in present time in the world again,
mm-hmm.
after being working and so busy, is, you know, just learning something about the landscape.
Oh, right.
And there are many opportunities to do that. And I'm wondering if you know of particular good places that have interpretive trails and things like that, where there's, you know, I mean, there are a lot of places that have information about mm-hmm. the landscape, you know, via visitor centers and so forth. And some places they actually have, you know, signs on the trails explaining what the trees are and so forth.
A good one that's close by is at Allerton Park, and they have recently developed what's called the Buck Schroth Trail.
Yeah.
And there they have laminated, colored interpretive signage. So you'll walk to an area and there might be one that talks about exotic plants. And you'll look down, there's a lot of exotic plant species there, and it's explaining it. You get to the prairie area, they talk about the prairies. There's another one called Butterfly Alley, where this might be a good place to see different butterflies, or it also identifies some of the butterflies you've been seeing throughout the park. So that's a really good one. Up at Volo Bog, it's a very short trail. They have like a little interpretive guidebook you can just take along with you. And that talks about the bog, talks about the different plants you might see, what is a bog, what made the bog. You get to the center of the trail, and there you are in the middle of the eye of a bog, which is Volo Bog. It happens to be the only bog in Illinois with still an open water eye. And then, of course, you hike out. And the whole time, you're kind of on this sort of spongy, tilty boardwalk. So it kind of gives you a feeling of, you know, being on the spongy ground.
You mentioned Allerton Park and this interpretive trail. The person it's named after was a biologist out there for some time. Is that right?
I think he was a volunteer. Okay. And he happened to be a science teacher at Allerton. And it's kind of neat because they also have several quotes from, like, his notes and journal book. So it's always like Buck is sort of out there with you, you know, mm-hmm. kind of giving his interpretations or some comments yet.
And that's on the south side of the park,
mm-hmm.
which a lot of people don't ever visit, actually.
No, because there are the statues in the gardens aren't there, but it's a nice place, place, and it's a really nice trail.
And actually, that was one of the first trails after I got your book that I went out and investigated because I didn't really know about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I found out that it's really long.
Yeah. But, you know, most of the trails are only a couple miles. To me, that doesn't seem very long at all. But I guess maybe to some non-hikers or...
I went all the way around, so it's about 10 miles.
Oh, I thought you meant like Buck's Trail. No, Buck's is only a couple miles.
Yeah, Buck's Trail, yeah. But then it goes on beyond that.
Yeah, you can go beyond Buck's Trail. That's right. You can do extensions, side trips, a side spur, as I call them in my book.
One of the things also about Illinois that a lot of people perhaps don't appreciate, in addition to the, you know, the geology being very different in terms of, you know, the glaciated areas and so forth, it's actually kind of a meeting ground for east-west as well.
East-west and also north and south.
Yeah.
So we have a lot of plants. Like if you would visit some of the parks in the Vermilion County area, here you can find large tulip trees, beech trees, remnants of that huge eastern deciduous forest. Like I said, in the northern part of the state, you have the bogs. You go south, we have cypress swamps.
Mm-hmm.
Most people are like, oh, you're kidding, in Illinois. And our cypress swamps, we visited the Big Thicket in Texas a couple years ago, and they're always talking about their swamps. Ours are by far better. I mean,
folks, we got swamps.
We've got some nice ones, and we have trails that go out into them. So you can walk on this boardwalk trail at Heron Pond. You're in the middle of a cypress swamp.
Mm-hmm.
You can see birds. You might see a snake. You might see a snake eat the bird. It's quite fascinating. To the west, we've got a lot of hill prairies. There you might You know, if you're lucky, you might find a scorpion. We have one species of scorpion in Illinois. There's also some western prairie plants that you're going to find on some of these prairies. So Illinois is a diverse and fascinating state. We have over 54,000 species of organisms. So there's a lot to look for.
You mentioned the deciduous forests, which Illinois once had a great deal more of.
Right.
Are there some places where there are still original stands?
One of my favorites is Bell Woods and Wabash County. It's along the Wabash River. And here you're going to find some of the remnants of the last great forest, as they called them. The Wabash floodplain was a very fertile valley. Trees grew to immense sizes. They have just redone the visitor center at Bell Woods. And in the visitor center, you're going to find this huge circle. It's 16 to 18 feet in diameter. That was one of the last big trees that they cut down. And you just stand in this and it's like, you just start to think about, wow, these trees were huge. You can still find large tulip trees, beech, sycamore trees. So it's really a nice place to hike in early spring. They usually have a nice showing of bloodroot there. And also fall for the colors, just great fall colors. They have, I believe, 70 different tree species there. So quite a diverse park. And then again, like I said, along the Kickapoo Parks and Vermilion County Conservation Area, they also have some nice remnants of good-sized trees.
A lot of the areas around Vermilion County, well, there's Kickapoo, there's Glen Forest.
Forest Glen. Forest Glen, Kennecuck, I believe the Middle Fork River area. And one of the nice things, and there they do a spring program called... it's called their Spring Extravaganza, and it's like the second or third week in May. It's a weekend, and they'll highlight one of their parks. And there's usually about 25 to 30 people. You camp, spend the night. They have a great caterer and great food, and the interpreters go out with you, and you hike, say, three or four of the trails of that area. You've got people there really explaining what's going on. Mm-hmm. I happen to be the guest of theirs this year, and we did Kennecuck Cove Park. And on one of the trails, they actually took us and they talked about the different Indians, and we got to try to start a fire with just using, you know, napstone and flint, and we got to try to make our own flint. It was really a nice experience. Plus, you got some insights on the trails and what you might see.
Mm-hmm. Let me just reintroduce our guest this morning. We're talking with Susan Post of the Illinois Natural History Survey, and we're talking about great places to go hiking in Illinois and some of the natural areas, the aspects of those areas. And if you have thoughts of your own, places you've been that you'd like to share with us, we'd love to hear from you. 333-9455 around Champaign-Urbana. Anywhere else, 800-222-9455. In terms of, day trips, I mean, I suppose depending on where you are in the state, I mean, the state is a pretty big place, really. One of my favorite places to go is Southern Illinois.
Oh, my husband grew up in Southern Illinois, so we spend a lot of time, you know, exploring the hills and hollows, so to speak, of Southern Illinois. And, well, we'd already mentioned a little bit about the Cache. Since that's become the Cache River State Natural Area, there's a lot more interpretive signage, at least to get you to some of these areas to see the swamps and some of the big trees. Also in the Shawnee Forest, Bellsmith Springs is an excellent place to go hiking. Fern Cliff, and then also Giant City near SIU.
Absolutely, right. Well, we'll continue talking. We have a caller to include in our conversation, so why don't we do that? And this is a listener in Atlanta on line number 4. Good morning. You're on Focus 580.
Good morning.
Yes.
I've got a little bit unusual hike in Illinois that downstaters might really appreciate because of the contrast. Usually I'm a wilderness hiker, backpacker, that type of thing, but once in a while we sneak up to Chicago on the train and walk the lakefront, and the architecture, the changing vista, the skyline, the lake on one side. There's a couple of hidden beaches along that bike trail, particularly over by Miggs Field, that are just really, really nice, and during the week they're pretty private. So, really a big contrast from the wilderness, but downstaters, it's a contrast from down here. so I just thought I'd throw that one in.
Oh, that's an excellent idea. I had to include in my book urban hikes, and so the Chicago area was one, and I entitled that hike Lions, Tigers, and Bears, Oh My. And what I did was I started at the Field Museum, and we looked at different architectural buildings, but we looked for different animals on it. And one of my favorite, I believe, is the Britannica building. It's near Grant Park, and if you look up, you can see four bison heads surrounded by a beehive.
Wow.
And then the first time I read about it, it's like, cool, and then you see it lit up at night, and that's really something to see. And then my hike, the turnaround point was at Lincoln Park Zoo, and then we came back around the lakefront, hitting the big Ferris wheel.
Yeah, that's particularly for the contrast of the cornfields, it's really a nice way to spend a summer afternoon. So I'm excited that you had that in your book.
Thank you.
Yeah, go ahead if you had more to say.
It was great to hike that on a Sunday morning. Hardly any traffic.
Yeah, that is good. And as traffic picks up, seeing the people of Chicago is always interesting, too. So that's another nice sidebar.
Right, right.
Thanks.
Good. Thanks so much for the call. We have another listener in Urbana next on line number one. Good morning. You're on Focus 580.
Hi. I came in as you were talking. You were mentioning a devil's kitchen and the idea of water and falls.
Mm-hmm.
Could you tell me where that is again and if there's anything else similar in the center part of the state here?
Okay. I'll have to look that up to make sure I've got the right name. That was... I called it, it's in the Southwest Shawnee National Forest, and it's by Crab Orchard Lake.
Okay, thank you.
There's so many places to keep track of. It's right. Amazing.
It's called the Rocky Bluff Trail, and it's at Devil's Kitchen Lake.
Thank you.
I'm trying to think. Here in Illinois, we really don't have that contrast of like a little waterfall and a lot of wildflowers. A place where you might be able to see some nice wildflowers, it's near the Quincy area, and it's a place you might not consider. It's called Argyle Lake State Park, and you sort of have to hike around the whole lake, but here you can see just huge clumps of different kinds of wildflowers, and about halfway through the hike, you're going to come to an area that's called a savanna. Or an oak opening. This is a place where early pioneers, it's a park-like setting. Mm-hmm. You have hugely, widely spaced trees, not much understory, but in May you can see the bird's foot violet. Most people might be familiar with just the regular one. This is a bicolored one, so you've got a light color purple and a dark color purple. And it's just these pockets of this violet all over. And it's really quite pretty.
Are there places where there are some nice waterfalls in the state?
Let's see. In southern Illinois, we have what's called Burden Falls. Mm-hmm. It's not too far from Bellsmith Springs, and I believe I mention it in the book as sort of a side hike from Bellsmith Springs. Mm. It's not that far from Bellsmith, and you can just drive your car and look at it, and you can hike a little bit along the falls. Fern Cliff has a waterfall. Again, it dries up usually by midsummer.
Yeah. Okay.
And most of the waterfalls that we have, quite small, and they usually dry up by midsummer.
Are they mostly in the Shawnee area? Yeah. Well, the Shawnee is an amazing area of, actually elevational features.
Right, right.
Which you don't think of Illinois as having, but...
Right there you do. So another feature that... this isn't a waterfall, but it's a nice hike. It's called Mermet Lake. It's a conservation area. You can drive around it, but we also have hiked around it, and it's a 5-mile loop. This is some of the best wildlife viewing in the state.
Mm-hmm.
You usually can see, usually great blue herons. Every now and then there'll be a bald eagle or an osprey, ducks, and lots of times hundreds of sunning turtles. And right now is when it's the peak blooming point time for American lotus down there. So corners of the lake are just covered with the lotus.
Another place that I visited recently was Pierre Marquette State Park.
That's a nice place also in the western part of the state.
Right, just right down by Alton.
And it has a nice lodge.
It had a beautiful lodge, one of these Civilian Conservation Corps built. These, they're immense. I mean, anyone who has visited one of these would surely be impressed by the scale of the materials that they use.
Right, right. And in Pere Marquette, if you're hiking, they have what's called these goat prairies or hill prairies. And they're doing quite a bit of restoration of these. They have volunteers and stewards out there. So they're trying to get the landscape to look a little bit more like it did in the past. But again, these hill prairies are nice. They're blooming probably right about now. You'd mm-hmm. be able to see some nice plants.
One of the interesting things for me about Pere Marquette, that particular area, is right where the Mississippi and the Illinois rivers meet.
Mm-hmm.
And there's sort of a feeling, I'm not sure how to describe it, except it's a kind of a boundary. You feel that these great forces coming together, that you're on a boundary of, some major natural shift in
right.
The ecology there.
It's quite beautiful. And when you're hiking up at Pere Marquette, you get these great views. You almost feel like you're at the top of the world
mm-hmm.
because you can see the different water systems come in. And then you can look over into Calhoun County. And Calhoun County is one of the areas of the state that was also unglaciated. So you have this kind of rugged pocket out there, very few roads to get to anything. And it's quite a pretty county.
Speaking of boundaries, the boundaries between the glaciated and non-glaciated areas of Illinois, just right down in that area, there is just a dramatic shift
mm-hmm.
that you can see as you're crossing it.
Well, in Illinois, where we live right now was a more recently glaciated area. And so if you go down like as far as Effingham, usually they're about a week ahead of us during the spring. So if you're wanting to see redbud or dogwood bloom, and it's not quite blooming here in Illinois in the Champaign area, mm-hmm. if you just drive to the Effingham area, you're going to see the redbud, dogwood. And then you get from Effingham to like the Shawnee Hills. That's where then the second to the last glacial episode was, called the Illinoisan. So then you've got like another week's shift in growing season. So it's quite interesting. I just thought of another place that has
sure.
waterfalls, and that's the Matheson State Park and the Starved Rock area. Those are really interesting to discover in the wintertime because those waterfalls freeze and they become ice falls. And at the Starved Rock Park, they actually let people climb these. So it's quite interesting to see people out with their ice picks and things practicing climbing these frozen falls.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, they're quite pretty.
Starved Rock is one of those parks that obviously, you know, it's considered a historic location in, you know, the history of the Native American tribes in this area because it was a major population area.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure there are many others that I don't know about. Are there, you know, good opportunities to learn about the history of the Native Americans in Illinois in some of these
trails? Oh, that's a good one. The only place I can think of, and it's not really a trail, would be, you know, the Dixon Mounds in the
sure.
Lewiston area. Maybe one of the callers or a caller would have an idea.
Sure. And I just thought it's not exactly a trail, but the Cahokia down there, there's plenty of hiking that you
mm-hmm,
can do,
mm-hmm.
including climbing a very impressive man-made hill.
Right. And you're right. I included Cahokia Mounds in the book. I just didn't think of that.
Well, there's so many places. We have another call to talk with. Let's include them in our conversation. We're about at our midpoint with Susan Post from the Illinois Natural History Survey. We're talking about great places to go hiking and exploring in Illinois. If you would like to join us, the number around Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. Toll-free anywhere else, 800-222-9455. Another Urbana listener next on line number one. Good morning.
Hi. I continue to have bouts with poison ivy because I'm working on getting rid of garlic mustard in some woods, and I end up in the midst of it. And this spring I got some because it wasn't even out, and I must have brushed up or pulled a vine or something. But so I wanted to remind people that if they're not familiar with what poison ivy looks like, that they might consider trying. There's a product that you can put on your skin that helps keep the oils off your skin until you can wash it off.
Mm-hmm.
And it protected my face the last time I was in there brushing up against vines of poison ivy. And I was remembering taking my kids when they were little to Starved Rock, and there was one area that wasn't among the most scenic, but we were trying to get there, and I suddenly realized there was bushes of poison ivy at eye level. And I was thinking, oh, my goodness, I better really teach my kids really quick about it. Because, you know, if you don't think about those things, you can turn a fun trip into something that has some unpleasant dividends.
Oh, yeah. I get poison ivy, so I'm always trying to look for it. And it seems the more I keep an eye out for it, the more I get it. I'm not sure what it is.
Hmm.
I don't know whether our sensitivity increases over time with exposure or what. One thing I read was that woodsmen loggers used to try to prevent poison ivy exposure by eating a leaf a day, starting with its first coming out. So they'd start with a really teeny tiny leaf. I don't know whether that would work or not. It sounds really fancy, but I thought it was really interesting history.
Ooh. There's a book that's recently been published, and it's sort of called The History of Poison Ivy. And there's like a Poison Ivy Festival, I believe. I'm not quite sure. I think it's out west somewhere. But the only state that doesn't have poison ivy is California. It's either California or Nevada. Otherwise, every other state has that. I have a question about, you said you use that poison ivy sort of the before you go out.
Yeah, I found something in a drugstore. It was a lotion that you put on your skin.
Do you find that it's greasy?
No, it wasn't bothersome at all.
I was just curious.
It wasn't greasy. It was like a liquid sunscreen, but not a creamy sunscreen. Really light and liquid. No, it didn't bother me. And I figure, even if it does feel greasy, if you happen to react that way, it's much better than having the rash afterwards.
That's true.
I put it on my face, and I had lots of the rest of me covered up, but I know that I was crawling around, and I suddenly realized I had just brushed my face up against a big poison ivy vine, and I didn't get anything.
Wow.
So, I mean, later on I came in and I washed my face too, but I'm pretty sure I would have gotten something.
Right, because they're always saying you need to, like, what is it, so many minutes or seconds after contact you should, like, wash. But if you're out in the woods, how can you do that?
Right, yeah. So, but sometimes you can wash at lunchtime or something like that. But even so, it's kind of hard to get the oil off. Anyway, just a thought.
Good.
Oh, well, thanks.
Appreciate the call. This is an important issue, and that is safety and how to sort of prepare yourself to deal with what you might encounter. And poison ivy is obviously one of those things that's pretty common.
Right, right. Poison ivy, something else you need to be aware of, ticks. Ticks can always be a problem. We recommend pulling, you know, your socks up, you know, tucking your pant leg in your socks. I usually spray my waist, my ankles, anything else that might be exposed for both ticks. And I don't ever want to get chiggers. Not that I'm going to be rolling around in the grass, but I just really react a lot to chiggers, too. So, you know, don't want to get those. Always make sure you have plenty of water. I mean, when I was doing this book a couple times, we didn't realize how hot it was going to be that day. Mm-hmm. And by the end of the trail, we were really very, very thirsty. So always make sure you have plenty of water. Rain gear, you know, out west, you always need rain gear because the storms come up fairly quickly. Here, you can usually tell. And you can always listen to Ed also.
That's right.
He'll
Ed Keezer.
You know.
He's our man.
That's right.
What can you sort of, and poison ivy is one of those things that for a long time, I just didn't get it. I couldn't recognize it. And I've never gotten poison ivy. I'm one of those lucky people that apparently has a strong immunity or something, because I'm sure I've encountered it. But in recent years, for some reason, I finally figured out what it looks like. And I never miss it now. I can always tell what's poison ivy and what isn't.
Right. They always say, leaves of three, beware of thee, you know, because it's a plant. It does have three leaves. It's related to the cashew family. And a lot of times people, you know, you'll go to the doctor and they'll say, well, it's either poison ivy or poison oak. Well, if you've been hiking here in Illinois, it's probably poison ivy because we don't have poison oak here in Illinois. We have, in a few spots, we do have poison sumac, which is more of a wetland boggy plant that you could encounter in Volo Bog if you got off the boardwalk, which you probably won't because then you'd sink into the ground. But I used to not get poison ivy until I took a field botany class.
Really?
And then they kept pointing it out. Ever since then, I get poison ivy all the time.
Just by looking at it, maybe?
I don't know. It just jumps on me or something. I just don't know.
Okay. Well, other callers are welcome. If you have some things to point out about hiking in Illinois or great places, destinations, 333-9455 around Champaign-Urbana. Toll-free anywhere else, 800-222-9455. We haven't talked about the northwest part of the state, which would include like the Mississippi Palisades area and so forth.
Oh, you mentioned like one of my favorite parks. The Mississippi Palisades State Park has a great system of trails, has a nice campground. One of my favorite trails is called the Sentinel Trail. Early May, it's probably one of the best trails in the state to see wildflowers. You walk out and it's a carpet of great white trilliums. There's a few of the big red ones. And as you continue to hike up, you see what might be an unusual sight. You see a shooting star. This shooting star isn't the normal prairie species you normally see, but it's called the amethyst shooting star. They used to think it was quite rare in the state because nobody saw it until the state botanist about 20 years ago just drove up and down the hills of Illinois using his binoculars, and he would be able to spot these patches of pink, and it was the shooting star. So as you're hiking up, you just hit pockets of the shooting star, so it's all kind of pink. Again, you'll find more trilliums. Usually there's lots of birds, butterflies. So I highly recommend the Sentinel Trail in May. And then other trails that they have, I think I called one in the book the Three Corners Trail or something, where you just go, there's a lot of elevation, grand vistas, you get to see the Palisades, and again, just lots of nice green, lush foliage and early spring wildflowers.
The vistas of the Mississippi River up there are just amazing.
Oh, it's fabulous. And also along there, you have what's called the Mark Twain Wildlife Refuge. Mm. So you'll sometimes see a lot of different birds. And, I mean, what could be better than, seeing a turkey vulture almost eye to eye as it's sort of sailing past you as you're looking at some of these vistas. Another park in that area is called Apple River Canyon State Park. Has a lot of the northern plants. You'll find arborvitae, white cedar. You might even find a few native white pines there. And that has another unique plant called bird's eye primrose, which we call a glacial relic. It was a plant that was able to survive the glaciers. And here, the cool pockets of water keep that plant alive. And it'll be growing in these limestone parts of the cliff. At one time, an early botanist said it tinted the landscape purple. Well, it doesn't do that anymore, but you still can find these little pockets of plant. And it's quite nice to visit also. And that would be located on the Primrose Trail at Apple River Canyon State Park.
We talked a lot about state parks, and Illinois has such an extensive state park system, it seems.
We have a great state park system, and we're always adding.
Yeah.
One of the sites, it's now called Jim Edgar Panther Creek State Park. It used to be Site M, and they're developing horse trails there and hiking trails at that park. As we've been talking all along about some of the parks in southern Illinois, northern Illinois, we just have a wonderful state park system. And then along with that, a lot of the county forest preserves and conservation districts have their own park system. Mm-hmm. So Lake County in northern Illinois has a great system, and if you write to them, they'll send you a little packet of all their hikes. McHenry County has nice hiking spots. Then another place, and I mention a couple of them in my book, Illinois probably has the best system of nature preserves in the whole country. Many of them are also accessible. Those are areas that this is what the vegetation looked like. So we're trying to preserve them, but many of them also have small trails through them so you can go and appreciate. And the state publishes a guide to those, and that's available through the state's clearinghouse.
There are also some good resources on the web I found. The Illinois Department of Natural Resources has good information about the parks and so forth.
Mm-hmm. They keep an excellent website. It'll let you know about lodging, parks. And I just read that the new state highway maps are going to have some of the big trails marked, like the Grand Illinois Trail and several of the other rails to trails. So we should be looking forward to those. I thought they said the maps will be coming out maybe the end of the month.
One of the things that that you find in a lot of the state parks are, we sort of mentioned these Civilian Conservation Corps buildings, and I think that probably people of our generation probably are familiar with what these things are about and how they came about. They sort of represent an area of great sort of park creation in our history.
It's almost like, when you think of the Civilian Conservation Corps and what they did with parks, you might think of Yellowstone, where they have these grand buildings with logs, and they did a lot of the trail work. But they were also very active here in Illinois, And we mentioned a couple of them at Pier Marquette.
Giant City,
Little Grand Canyon, Rim Rock, Ponds Hollow also has a nice Civilian Conservation Corps structure. And they also did some tree plantings. So I try, if that area has been highlighted in my hiking book, I try to point out that, oh, you're looking at a CCC, as we call it, structure.
White Pine State Park is another place that has one of those.
Yes, that has some of the largest white pines in the state. And they're native. Most white pines in the state aren't. So it's one of the few native spots.
Neat. We have another caller to talk with. Let's include them. Another listener in Urbana on line number one. Good morning. You're on Focus 580.
I'm calling back.
Okay.
You're talking about wildflowers. Reminds me of my own experiments with moving wildflowers from a family farm woods to our front yard where we were creating a woods. And I learned that digging up wildflowers when they are blooming doesn't have a high rate of success.
Usually not.
And not only that, but you also are depleting the supply of flowers there. And there are there's someone in Urbana who propagates some of the woodland wildflowers, and the Grand Prairie Friends propagates native prairie plants. So at least locally in the springtime and sometimes into the summer, I know the prairie plants are sometimes available at the farmer's market, and so that's a much better alternative to being tempted to bring something from the wild back home.
Right. Usually when we go, what we're doing, we are just looking for wildflowers. We're trying to identify them, photograph them, and I've recently tried to sketch. I'm a very poor sketcher, but it's kind of fun to try that and see what kind of perspective you can get on the plants.
I mean, they're lovely, but there's fewer and fewer of them, and people talk about, you'll read accounts of children going out and grabbing huge numbers of things like lady slippers, you know, when there were early white settlers in the area, and they're no longer around because they were harvested.
Well, that's what happened to most of the orchid population in the state. Is in the northern part of the state, the Cook County area, where they were quite abundant, people would gather them and sell them then at train stops for people to have on their tables.
Golly.
So it was quite a lucrative business. School teachers usually supported themselves that way in the summertime.
Oh, and the other thing is that picking a flower will often, sometimes the whole, you get the whole plant, and so you may deprive the plant of coming back in the future if you pick the flower. So, thanks.
Good. Thanks very much. We have another caller with us on line number two in Champaign County. Good morning. You're on Focus 580.
Hi. I have a person in a wheelchair, and those parks that put in wheelchair trails usually have a trail that's paved in a loop and doesn't really go anywhere. Just so long as the ground is smooth and the path is wide enough and there aren't terribly many roots and bumps and hills aren't too high, a wheelchair might be able to negotiate that. Do you attend to any of that? Where are some good spots to go?
Have you tried there's a wheelchair accessible trail at Forest Glen Park in Vermilion County?
Exactly. It's one of those small loops.
Right.
At best, it's 9/10 or a mile long.
Right. Another park that's starting to do that will be Goose Lake Prairie State Park. They have just recently received some funding to do some wheelchair-accessible trails. Some of the trails I like are in the northern part of the state where they're combination bike trails, hiking trails. So in my book I mentioned, I believe I call it the Deer Path Trail.
Okay.
That's up near the Morton Arboretum.
Okay, yeah.
But a lot of the forest preserve and conservation areas in Lake Cook, McHenry County, they have more wheelchair accessible trails than we do down here in the southern part or the central and southern part of the state.
Thank you.
Which is unfortunate.
Well, yeah, a dirt trail is fine. It doesn't have to be paved. Just so you go out when it's dry. It just it just has to be relatively smooth. You know, and they just often aren't wide enough. They often, if they're on hills, they turn into waterways, and the water wears down and creates ruts and ridges and things like that. It's kind of frustrating.
It's something I think that when people are starting to develop some of these parks with, you know, more trails, I think they need to be aware of.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, thanks very much for the call. Appreciate that. There was one other trail that I was aware of in Giant City State Park that is wheelchair accessible.
Oh.
And I'm not sure that it's, I think it was only about a mile long.
Mm-hmm. They never make them very long.
Yeah. Yeah, but at least it does have some great views mm-hmm. of some of the bluffs and so forth down
oh,
there.
Oh, that's good. That's good to know.
Yeah. Are there any great places around the state to view prairie?
Well, we mentioned Goose Lake Prairie.
Yeah.
Wolf Road Prairie, which is up near Brookfield Zoo, and that would be another one that would be accessible because Wolf Road Prairie is one that almost became a subdivision. So we call it a prairie on a grid because it is just grids of prairie, you know, with connecting sort of asphalt paths.
Oh, really?
But the funding ran out due to the Depression, so the area was saved. And these people are continuing to develop and acquire more land. So that's a nice area to see prairie. Another place is in the northern part of the state, Illinois Beach State Park. And if you go to the north unit, that has nice prairie. It also has the swell and swale where you can see where the glacier would come and then recede and come and recede again. And it also shows you a lot of the Lake Michigan, the old lake beds. But that also, part of that area was also destined to become a subdivision. Again, funding fell through, so there's also asphalt paths there. So that might be another one that, although they wouldn't call it accessible, all it is on asphalt paths and you'd be able to see. Other prairie sites, Goose Lake Prairie. Coming up towards Labor Day, the place will just be ablaze with the different yellows of the sunflowers. You'll see all kinds of spiders. 2 years ago, when we had sort of a drought, we were hiking along there, and I couldn't believe the young herons because the ponds were drying up, so you had all these fish concentrated. And there were just hundreds of juvenile herons and egrets trying
wow.
to get these fish. So Goose Lake Prairie is a great place to see native prairie. They've done a lot of restoration. And that's one of the few places in the state where you can actually, the way the trails are set up, you don't see, you know, much of your surroundings. So you feel like you're walking through grass that's 6 to 7 feet tall.
That's amazing. How big is the prairie there? I mean, how many acres?
I'll have to look that up.
Okay. Well, I'm just curious because, you know, if you read about the history of the state up until about 1830,
mm-hmm.
Most of the state was covered with this tall grass prairie, and we have very few examples of that left now. Anyone who has seen even hints of it, it's very impressive.
I don't think I mentioned how much prairie is found at Goose Lake. I'm sure, though,
okay.
if you ask, it's a state
yeah,
site.
Okay.
They have an interpretive center, and they also have little brochures, and they're also seasonal. So it'll tell you, like, you can check out a brochure that'll have the spring flowers, the summer flowers, the fall flowers, and they also have, like, bird guides and things also for that park.
The amazing thing about prairie is it changes throughout the summer.
Correct.
So dramatically.
Right, because a lot of the prairies in the spring, they start up very, very small. Get larger. A nice place, and you wouldn't maybe think of seeing prairie wildflowers, is around income tax time. And here you're going to see pasque flower. That's a prairie plant we consider more of the sort of the north of the Dakotas. And that's in the middle of Rockford is where you're going to find this. It's called Harlem Hills Nature Preserve. And here you just find all kinds of pockets of pasque flower, prairie smoke, some of the early blooming plants. Come the end of June, early July, then you have a fall of coneflower, just coneflowers all over. So,
we have just about 3 minutes left with Susan Post talking about hiking around Illinois. And one caller waiting. We'll get them in before we run out of time. There's a listener in Savoy on line number one. Good morning. You're on Focus 580.
Yes, good morning. I just wanted, if it's okay, to correct a misconception about some of our Western National Parks about the WPA and CCCs.
Okay.
In reality, the railroads built the two major lodges in Yellowstone National mm-hmm. Park, Old Faithful Inn, was done by the Northern Pacific Railroad, and the Ian Fred Harvey helped build in Grand Canyon National Park. That was all done with private money. Also, Mammoth Hot Springs in Yellowstone National Park was also built with private money. In fact, over the winter of 1903-1904 was when they built the Old Faithful Lodge. And the story goes that the architect, they got him drunk and kept him there over the winter, and he couldn't get out, so they had to work on the lodge. And that, I don't know whether it's a true tale or not, but we should be thankful to the railroads because, of course, they were after the passengers and exploiting in some ways the resource to bring people in as mm-hmm. well from mm-hmm. a tourist standpoint. But I just wanted to clear the air on that a little bit. That was all.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
Well, thanks for the call. Yeah. Well, I think you know the caller makes an interesting point about the railroads. I remember that there was a story about Starved Rock State Park and the lodge there. That was originally some kind of resort, and people from Chicago would take mm-hmm. the train down from Chicago to Starved Rock, which is, you know, not mm-hmm. exactly a hop, skip, and a jump.
Several of our parks, believe it or not, were resorts. Uh-huh. Weldon yeah. Springs State Park, Siloam Springs State Park, these all had springs, so they thought they had sort of curative powers, and people would come there to, you know, sit in the springs, hope, you know, whatever ails them cures them. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, getting out of these parks, they do have curative powers.
Just being outside. Just get to go outside and not be in and not have to work. It's great.
And you're heading for the Canadian Rockies, I believe.
Yes, yes. So.
Well, yeah. Illinois has lots of great places, but we don't want to shortchange the rest of the world either.
That's right. That's right. So, no, we do spend a lot of time hiking in Illinois. So, I mean, we'll be going out again in the fall. My favorite time is spring and fall just uh-huh. because of the colors. But I'm also learning to appreciate a lot of these areas in the summer. Being an entomologist, now's a great time to see all the different kinds of insects on the trail. Just not the mosquitoes that might be bothering you and biting you, but there's a lot of unusual insects out there right now.
Well, we have to leave it there since we're here at the end of our time. We could talk a lot about this stuff. I you know, it's one of my favorite things to do and enjoy. So, but we'll have to leave it there. Our guest has been Susan Post. She is a professional scientist with the Illinois Natural History Survey. And you can look for her book. It's a really wonderful guide to a lot of the places that you can find great hiking trails in the state of Illinois, entitled, ironically, Hiking Illinois.
Illinois.
Published by Human Kinetics Press and the author, our guest, Susan Post. Thanks very much for being here.
Oh, thanks for having me.